Okay, so the first of the three RTFMs, I'm going to talk about the grep family of commands. The name grep is a little bit odd, and like a lot of Unix commands, there's always a history to the name. Essentially, what grep stands for is Global Regular Expression Print. And even that sounds a little convoluted for a search command, but the origin of the name comes from a Unix editor command. The G was the global command, and then you would follow that by a regular expression in slashes, and then that could be followed by any command, and it would run that command on every line that matched that regular expression. And the P command would be to print out the line, just to display it on the screen. And so that's essentially how grep got its name. Now, it's a family of commands I referred to. It turns out that grep was the original one, but then they added egrep and fgrep. Egrep stands for extended grep. The difference being, with the initial grep command, they used something called limited regular expressions, and I'll get into more detail on that in just a second. But they then implemented egrep that implemented full or extended regular expressions, and there's slight differences in the syntax between those two, and I'll get to that in a second. They also came up with a third command called fgrep, which traditionally stood for fast grep, but you can also think of it as a fixed string grep. So in that case, what you're doing is you're throwing away regular expression syntax, and you're just doing literal string matches. Historically, grep and egrep especially were quite CPU intensive, and on very slow machines, you would see a real performance hit. Egrep as well used potentially very large amounts of memory compared to grep. Fgrep was designed with speed in mind when you didn't need all the power of a regular expression engine. And so, you know, on early versions of Unix, these were three separate binaries, each tuned to the particular task it was performing. On modern systems, you're typically using the GNU grep command. It's the one binary with three command names, and in fact, there are options now that let you switch between the behaviors of them. So the different command names are really just shorthands for enabling particular options to give you the compatibility mode. All right, so limited regular expressions, or what in the GNU manuals they refer to as basic regular expressions. Essentially, in a regular expression, any alphanumeric character is matched literally. So letters, digits, just match those characters literally. Some punctuation characters have no special meaning, so they also literally match those characters. However, there are a lot of special characters, and depending on which flavor of regular expression you're using, there may be different special characters, and increasingly more with the more extended the regular expression syntax is, the more characters become special in their function. So I'm just going to go through some of the very simple regular expression syntax, starting with a few that will be fairly obvious to anyone who's familiar with wildcard characters in file names, what in Unix terminology is called globbing. And I think we referred to that in an earlier RTFM where we talked about using the shell and wildcards. So anyway, in regular expression syntax, a literal dot matches any single character. So that would be kind of like the question mark character in file name globbing, but in regular expressions it's dot you use. Okay, so a dot in any character position says any character will do in that position. The star is a little, it's different from what you would have in file name globbing in a subtle way. Star is actually a modifier for the previous character or regular expression. And what it says is to match any number of that previous character, including zero matches. So you'll often see the combination dot star, okay? And that gives you kind of the equivalent of what the star would be in file name globbing, which says just match anything. So the dot says match any single character. This says zero or more of those matches. Okay, but you could also follow the star after a literal character. Like you could go space star, which would say any number of spaces. A star, any number of the letter A, any string of any length of the letter A, including a zero-length string. So, with all these special characters, what do you do if you want that actual character? You just put a backslash in front of it, and that says match that next character literally. It takes away the regular expression, special meaning of that character. Including the backslash itself. Yeah, so two backslashes is one literal backslash. Thank you. I should have added that in the examples. The next thing I'm going to talk about in regular expressions is something called character classes. If you're familiar with file name globbing in Unix as opposed to in DOS or Windows, you have probably seen these as well. So essentially, character classes, again, are for representing a single character cell in the string you're trying to match. But the regular expression can be arbitrarily long. What you do is you start with an open square bracket, you end it with a closed square bracket, and in between that, you can have a whole list of different characters that you want to match in that particular position. And you can specify ranges by putting a dash between, or hyphen, between the two characters. So for instance, 0 to 9 would be represented with 0-9. Putting the caret or hat character in the first position after the open square bracket inverts the character class. It says everything but those particular characters. So this says everything but letters. So here I'm matching uppercase and lowercase explicitly. What do you do if you want to have a literal hyphen within a character class? The GNU recommendation is put it at the end. You can actually put it at the very beginning, and it'll be taken literally, but they recommend putting it at the very end. The reason for that is there's another character that you pretty much have to put at the beginning, and that's the closed square bracket. Okay, normally the closed square bracket indicates the end of the list for your character class, but if it's in the very first position, it's matched literally. All right. So here what I'm saying is I want to match an open or a closed square bracket. So here, this is bracketing the whole string, but then I have to put my closed square bracket as the first character, and then I'm just putting the open square bracket. The open square bracket could actually show up anywhere in the list, because it has no special meaning within the list once you started the list. My examples don't show this, but if you have the caret, it has to be in the very first position. So if you wanted to say anything but a closed square bracket, you would put open square bracket, caret, closed square bracket, closed square bracket.
Anything but a caret.
Anything but a caret would be
carrot.
Yeah, because the caret, to negate the class, only has that special meaning in the first position. Anywhere else in the list, and it's fine.
But if you just want to get the caret,
pardon me?
It's not a class. Never mind. I guess it's going to be.
No, actually, and it's a special character. You
need the backslash.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because the caret, also outside of character classes, has a special meaning, as I'll get to right now. There are two other special characters that we call anchors. And basically what they do is they anchor the regular expression to a particular position on the line. So a caret in the very first position in the regular expression matches the beginning of the line. So it anchors the expression that follows to the start of the line. And a dollar sign at the end of the expression matches or anchors that expression to the end of the line. Okay, so for instance, if you're looking through a mailbox file and you want to find all the lines that start a new message, hat from space would match every line that starts with the word from followed by a space, and that's the start of a new message. You want to find lines that have trailing spaces on them. Space, space, star, dollar sign will do it. Anyone know why I've got two spaces in there?
That's zero.
Zero or more.
That's right.
That,
what I wanted was one or more. Okay? And in limited regular expressions, that's basically the only way to specify that. I believe next, yes, we go to full regular expressions. And essentially, full regular expressions, for all intents and purposes, let you do everything you can with limited regular expressions plus a few other things. So, for instance, in addition to the star, which was a repetition operator, there are two additional repetition operators. There's a question mark, which again will follow another character or sub-expression, and that matches zero or one instance only. Okay? The plus sign means one or more. So they're all kind of modified versions of the star. Star is zero or more, plus is one or more, question mark zero or one. Now I referred to sub-expressions. Essentially that is just in full regular expression syntax. You can have any expression enclosed in parentheses, and that becomes a sub-expression. And then you can use operators like repetition operators to modify that whole sub-expression. You can also specify alternatives by separating them with a vertical bar, a pipe character. So, for instance, here, you want to match the words this, that, or the other. or this, that, or that's specifying an empty string explicitly. Okay. You can now combine these in a lot of different ways. There are also, in full regular expression syntax, there's a lot more that I haven't covered in here. And in addition to the traditional full regular expression syntax that was initially implemented in EGREP, Perl has added a whole bunch of other extensions to that, which in the GNU versions of these commands, I believe the Perl full regular expression syntax is implemented. So there's tons of other things, which I'm not going to go into tonight, but you can look at the man page. Yes?
I just want to point out that there's a fascinating history of all that discussed in
Mastering Regular Expressions by O'Reilly and Associates.
It's quite interesting, all the different versions of...
Great, thank you. So, just a very brief synopsis of the grep command, according to... this is taken more or less from the GNU man page, but very much simplified. There's actually a lot more to it than this. So typically you will have one of two forms to the command. So the keyword grep, or the command grep. There are a bunch of option characters, which I'll get to in a second. You will then follow that by a pattern, and then a list of one or more files to be searched for lines matching that particular pattern. If you don't specify any files, the search happens on the standard input. Typical of most Unix commands, they're meant to work in pipeline style, so you can just feed the output of one command to another, and so on. So the other form here is, again, with the command name grep options. You can use the minus E option to explicitly specify a pattern. The reason you might want to do that is, say, if your regular expression starts with a hyphen. You don't want it to be taken by the command as an option. You want it to be taken literally as your pattern. So you just make that explicit with the minus E option. Alternatively, if you have a number of these patterns, you can put them one per line in a file and then specify minus F, so that it will then look through that file for the whole list of patterns you want to match. And then that would be followed again by one or more files, or zero or more files, that will be used as input, with standard input being the default. The options I'm choosing to focus on, and I will emphasize again, this is a small subset of the options that are available now, but these are the ones you're likely to find on pretty much any version of the command, no matter how old your Linux or Unix distribution is, and no matter what the origin of that grep command. Minus C is used to print a count of the matching lines rather than actually outputting the lines themselves. Minus I ignores the letter case distinctions, so lowercase and uppercase in the pattern or in the file are treated as equivalent. Minus L says rather than printing the lines, print only a list of the file names for the files that had a match. Minus N says print the lines as usual, but prefix each line with its line number. Quite useful in some cases. Minus Q says to work quietly. It doesn't output anything to the standard output. Instead, all it does is exit with an appropriate exit status that you can then use in a script to decide what course of action to take based on whether the pattern was found in the file or not. And minus V selects variant or non-matching lines. Essentially, it inverts the regular expression, the entire regular expression. So it says, give me everything that doesn't match this. And minus E and minus F I already talked about, so I can skip those. Are there any questions on that?
How does grep handle extended and international character sets?
Good question. I was hoping to avoid getting into that. You'll notice in my examples, I just used ASCII, like I used like 0 to 9 with the digits and hyphens. They actually recommend, rather than specifying sequences that way, that you use
character classes
in the extended syntax, where you use colon and a keyword followed by another colon. And so you can match digits, you can match upper and lower case. And the difference is those particular keyword-based ones will match all characters in that subclass, regardless of whether they're sequentially located in the collating sequence. So for instance, for letters, it will match accented variants of those letters as well. And those don't appear in the collating sequence. They're much later in the collating sequence.
Actually, POSIX specifies that you're operating in an NLS environment, i.e. non-UTF-8 NLS environment, that the character ranges shall follow the national collation sequence that you have specified.
Yes.
So for example, all the accented versions of E come before F if you have your locale set to French nationalities. Mm-hmm. In UTF-8, I don't actually know what the correct behavior is, but I've seen at least two different behaviors. And one just goes based on the byte value of the Unicode string in question, may or may not have anything to do with reality. And the other is it continues to follow the NLS collation, even in a UTF environment. I have heard of a UGREP. Guess what that does? Never had to use it though. So the answer is, yeah, basically you're screwed.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Question at the back.
For Brian, the man page for grep is quite large, but it has a section there about the locale and the line setting. So if your grep isn't doing what you think it's supposed to be doing, the man page.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the man page for the GNU version of the commands is, in particular, is quite long and goes into all of this business about locales and character. Yeah, it gets quite complicated. But yeah, if you want it to do the right thing for any locale, then you should use the character class keywords or symbols as opposed to using the ranges that I specified. But that doesn't work in the older versions of the program pre-NLS and locales. So I don't know if that's even relevant for most systems that are out there today.
I'd say, given what we're doing right now, the correct answer to Brian is RTFM.
Yeah. Did anyone want to see any examples of this, or is this fairly clear? Because I think my time is up, really. So unless there are any other questions, we'll